Blog Talk Radio.
You're cool over it, or you can handle it in your own way and let them know that you use your brain in order to handle situations like this. But it could be a situation where you feel like the person or the people that are looking down on you actually have the right to do that. Maybe you feel like they have everything and you have nothing. We've got fresh gear in you and you've got rags. So when it's a situation like that where you are almost in agreement with them that it's okay for them to look down on you, treat you like shit or whatever. So you are kind of submitting to that until at least you get your weight up. So this type of situation can exist in a variety of ways, and we're going to get into every way that it could exist tonight. So that's how it's going down on this Friday, the 26th. Friday, the 26th is Flashback Friday. Thank God that it's Friday. People got paid acting a fool, and it's like 81 degrees. Yo, that's cool. And I'm feeling all right, and it's going crazy on my block tonight. And it's not even nighttime yet. It's daylight savings time, and it's about to get crime ridden all up around the way. But I'm still in the day, yeah, and I hope you play my way. And it's going down like that, and I'm going to be the first up the bat. And I'm going to hit that shit over the plate and home, and I'm going to do my thing. And so what's going on, Queen Monica Davis, Queen Matu Mayini, what's going on? And my man, Teacher 1130, what's up, my dude? And LaRusse, Yeah, LaRusse Young 73, thanks for coming through. This is the Daily Go Get a Business Show, and we're talking about those people who felt like they could look down on you. Those people who felt like they could look down on you. So that's how it's going down on the daily. It's the Daily Go Get a Mizum Show, and you are down 752. That's oh. What's going on? Let me shout out my people. Let me see what y'all talking about. What you talk about, Carol Chamber? Let me five. Rita's always glad to see ya. And Stacey White holding it down for the D. I don't care if you move. I'm still holding it down for the D. Through you. Yes, I do. And you know what time it is. Yes, I know you do. And she carry right morning, noon, and night. It's always good to have my peoples going right in your sight. And my brother Ansel Jones down from Baltimore. Girls can't leave him alone. And my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. You know how we do. You know how we get the kill. And Anyway, so that's how we doing it tonight. Those people who look down on you, those people who felt like that it was okay for them to look down on you. Well, we're going to get into it tonight. Now, it could have been anybody. It could have been your first girlfriend or boyfriend's family. It could have been their mom. If you're a young girl, you was dating a boy in high school or something like that, and she was one of those mothers that were very overprotective and super loving towards their sons and treated their sons like royalty, and they may have been looking down on you like, who is you? Like, all right. So, you know, they mom might have been treating you like you was some little fast-ass little girl out there in the street, and you wasn't like that at all. But at the same time, you had to give respect to your elders, and you played your part and really tried to keep your distance from the boy's mom because you knew that she had it all wrong, and maybe you felt like before long, everything would even itself out and everything would turn out the way that it was supposed to turn out, and she would see things the way because your charm, style, and grace and your proper upbringing would let her know. Like, I don't know if your son liked hoes before me, but your son ain't got no hoe. He ain't got no hoe. I'm down with your son, but I ain't the one. And I'll be goddamn if you treat me like a hoe when I know that I was never one. And that's my word, yo. And it could also happen to a boy. You know, it might be your girl's father. You know what I mean? Now, he was right. You was trying to run up in shorty and all of that. But it was more than that. This was your girl. This was your world. And it's still your source of irritation every now and then. You know how it is. You know how it is, young love and all of that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, you may have had somebody look down on you that you really needed to look at you in a favorable way at some point in your life. And when you first encounter something like this, it can really test your resolve because you may be young, brash, and let's see some of the things that young people have going with them, especially men. Young men have going on with us when we teenagers. First of all, we're insecure, which makes us jealous. So we jealous over our women. Like, nah, it's my girl. Hey, yo, I don't like them other niggas looking at you. You know, that kind of shit. We might be a little violent. We are super impatient. You know, that type of thing. You know, we need to be smoothed out. And I'm not saying that we're all the same, but, you know, these are some of the ingredients that a young man might have in them. And young women can have these kind of things in them too, but it just plays itself out in a different kind of way. So when you are in love with a girl and you are a young man, 14, 15, 16 years old, you know that you kind of have to act right because at any point in time, their parents, her parents could cut you off. No more phone calls from you. No more visits from you. And that can be very stressful on a young person. You know, because you don't know anything yet. So you got these parents looking down on you, and you really need them to be on your side so you can date their daughter. You love her. Just real shit. Like, you love her. This is you are young in the game. You know how it go. You know what I mean? You just now started to sift the pussy. You might not even have gotten the pussy yet. You ain't even been up in there yet. But they about to ruin all your chances. You don't know that she a little fast ass on the low or fast ass to be. She just waiting to give you some. But it, you know, she got to play her part too. She's been raised the right way too. You understand what I'm saying? So one of the most stressful things about this situation is when somebody looks down on you because they don't think that you come from a good family. Like they think you come from peasants or they think that you don't have any money. And you might not. You don't control the income in your family when you are a young person. You may have a little job, you may not. But nonetheless, you know, to be looked down upon because your parents are not affluent, that's not a good look. Let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752, and this your daily. Go get a business show. We do this every single day, every single day, every day. Every day it rains, every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Break it down, baby. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I am your host, Sun 752, aka Omar with the rrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrr, well then you just say Omar with the R. It's the Daily Go Get a Business Show all up in your area. And tonight on the Daily Go Get a Business Show, we are talking about those people who felt like they could look down on you. Maybe because you didn't have a lot of money. Maybe because you drove a messed up car. And maybe it's because you had a messed up house. Maybe it was because they knew you had a spouse before and you couldn't financially provide and you still had your feelings inside. And they did things to look down on you that really kind of messed with your pride. And you was trying to get through that situation, but they was giving you a whole lot of frustration. And you was you actually wanted to lash out, but you said, I better cool out. This ain't the time and place, and I ain't got time to be all up in the precinct and make my shit stink. And I ain't got no money to be paying no bail or putting my people in the... All right. Okay. What's up, Patty Bean? What's up, Patty Bean? How you doing? It's good to see me from you. Thanks for coming on through on the Instagrams, on the Instagram side. So do y'all know what I'm talking about? Do y'all feel me? Do y'all feel what we're talking about tonight? That people, those people, that person, those people who felt like they could look down on you. You know what I mean? Treat you like a sucker boy. Who used to irk me? You never was really down your job time, turkey. Listen here, turkey. Yeah, but it is. It's a tough situation. It really is a tough situation to be in when you are out here looking for happiness, looking for a way to be comfortable, looking for a good way to be, a way to a decent example to follow. Here you are looking for that. And it's nowhere to be found because these people are making your life a living hell because they're looking down on you. And sometimes when somebody looks down on you, you want to rebel and show them, you know, get that I'll show you attitude. At the same time, you may not be feeling that because it's like, well, why should I let these people put me in a position where I'm performing for them? They're not paying me. They're not doing anything for me. They're not helping me out. They don't even care about me, nor do they support me or even, you know, seem like they are willing to give me the time of day. But here I am trying to prove to them that I'm worthy. We're not worthy. We're not. Well, yes, we are. Yes, we are. And yes, I am. What's going on, Pata? Pata on a blog talk chat. What's going on, Pata? Or P-A-T-A, Pata. That's how it's going down, y'all. Daily Go Get a Mr. Show. That's how it's going down. Those people who felt like they could look down on you. How does it feel? How does it feel? How did it feel the first time that it happened to you? The first time that it happened to you. And I'm trying to think about the times when I've been looked down upon. I mean, now knowing me, the first times that it probably happened, I probably brushed it off like, maybe I thought they just didn't like me. But I know that I've been looked down upon. It just hasn't been done the most outright sense. It hasn't been presented to me in a way where it made me really want to lash out. So I'm trying to think of an example where I really felt like somebody was looking down on me. Now, I've been a victim of white supremacy. It's no big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, but it's no big deal because as a black person, you know, you get used to being looked down upon some people who feel like they are better than you because of their race or because of your skin tone or something like that. So now I'm trying to think, have I ever been caught up in being looked down on by our people in any way? I can't really think of any examples where I've dated any girls and their parents didn't really like me. And that's not to say that they always liked me. It could have been that I didn't know that they wasn't feeling me that much. But I don't remember them looking down on me. And it could be because I've never carried myself as a thug. I've never been disrespectful. You could say that I had good home training. I've never tried to treat anybody's parents with disrespect or come in their house and put my feet up on their furniture or yell at their daughter or, mistreat her or anything like I don't remember acting out of pocket at any time. Even when I was a drinker. You know what I mean? Even when I was a drinker and I know I acted a fool a lot, but I don't remember being looked down on because of that. So that's not to say that it hasn't happened. It's to say that I might not have been conscious of it. So if I think about times that I've looked down on someone else, that's a no-no. And the reason that it's a no-no is the same reason that it wasn't a yes-yes. I wasn't raised to look down on people. You know, between my mom and my dad, me, my brothers and sisters, we've been exposed to a variety of people from different socioeconomic backgrounds. So we've been around people who were pretty affluent, and we've been around people who didn't have nothing. So we've been around the ranches with the horses and the livestock and the big garages, and we've also been the rat roaches. Absolutely. So and everything else is in the middle. So I kind of take issue with people who look down on people. I take issue with that. Like, why are you treating somebody that way? But it's different. It feels different when you see black people looking down on other black people. I don't know about y'all, but to me, that gives me more cause for concern than white supremacy. You know why? Because we expect white supremacy to do what white supremacy does. I expect a white supremacist to look down on me or to think that he or she is better than me, regardless of how much money they have or do not have, regardless of where they live, regardless of any of those economic factors, expect them to feel like they are better than us because they've been taught that they are. So why would I expect them to act any differently when they have adhered, submitted, and have bought into their upbringing? I'm almost not mad at that, but when I see us, you know how it is. Black people get a couple of dollars, and now they want to act a whole fool. You know, they want to act a whole fool. Remember last week we was talking about how with this stimulus money, some people got a couple of dollars, and you're about to start seeing people acting like they came from money. Like, you ain't got no money. Now all of a sudden you want to talk money? You couldn't talk money a few days ago.
You can barely talk money now. You know, the only reason The only reason that you talking cash right now is because of
a government assistance program. When it all comes down to it, that's what it is. We're benefiting off of a government assistance program. Shut up. Hold on. You know? So although it's a government assistance program that anybody can be a part of and is actually designed for everybody, you're going to see some fronting. And so, you know, in the black community, we already have so many problems. We have so many things that we have to deal with. We have so many internal problems. We have so many internal problems that we have to deal with that make us look down on each other, that keep us separated. Now, we can talk about the reasons that we separate from each other all day, but this time we're talking about a specific type of separation. We're talking about when we are separating from each other because one of us is looking down on the rest of us, or some of us are looking down on the other ones of us. I don't know. You know, so we're not talking about how black people separate because of, let's say, religion. You know, if you were born and raised as a Christian, you may look down on people who are Muslim. But everybody in your congregation ain't going to look at it that way. And that's a different type of situation because you're talking about your divinity. You're talking about your association with who you deem to be the creator of all things. That's a little bit different than, let's say, because I'm light-skinned. I got white people in my family and I got Indian in my family. And I'm looking down at your little black ass, your little dark-skinned ass. I'm looking down on you. Because you ain't light, because you don't have nice hair, you don't have long, free flowing hair, you don't have wavy, you know, not the stocking cap waves or the do-rag waves. You don't have the natural waves, the big kind. You know what I mean? Where male or female, your hair is growing long, way past your underarm, that type of shit. We have in our community people who look down on people because of that. And because that's not as popular as it used to be with most of us, but it still exists, even if it exists on the low. On the low. So that's a tough situation, son. Yo, for real, that's a tough situation. So, yeah. When we take that type of situation into consideration, it takes us to another place. Black people looking down on black people. And you know it's real. You grew up with it. I grew up with it. We grew up with it. It's something we got to deal with. And it existed before and it exists now. Surely, sure, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Surely, sure, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world is going to see me some you. Oh, yes, I do feel good when I see you. Thanks for coming on THROUGH. And so Joe says, when I gave people the rough around the edges, some white people wanted me to go out of my way for them to feel comfortable. Okay. So you kind of talking about the old black man and the white woman in the elevator type joint. Yeah. Yeah. So you had to portray the image of the non-threatening black male. The non-threatening black male. And you know how hard it is to keep up that persona of the non-threatening black male. That is not an easy thing to do. And every black man has to do it at some point. You may not do it on the streets, but you better do it in court. If the streets lead you to court, you better act like they got the wrong one. No, Your Honor. I can't imagine what brought me to court today. I can't imagine. I was just walking down the street minding my business on my way to Bible school, vacation Bible school, you know, because it's the summertime. So I was on my way to vacation Bible school, and all of a sudden I was accosted by police officers. I couldn't imagine why. In all reality, you know, you was fitting the profile because you was out there thugging. But it don't matter whether you was out there thugging. When you see that judge, you stand down. I don't care how tough you are. You better play dead right now. You better play like you just took a whole bunch of Prozac. What's going on, New York Pat? NY Pat, what's going on, man? Good to see me some you. Word up. It's good to see me some you. Word. Right. Cal Chamberlain says, wow, sadly, some blacks still actually do that. You know they do. See, what it is, Carol, is you're probably not around people who do that shit anymore. You know, once the older we get, the more we exercise our privilege of choice. Like, you know, you get to a certain point in your life where you only hang around people that you think you're going to like. You don't even want to meet nobody that you don't think that you'll like. But you're definitely not going to divide your time amongst motherfuckers that you don't really care for like that. So if you're not the type of person that's into all of that colorism shit, and for some people, that dividing line of color or complexion or hue becomes, well, either I distinguish between light and dark, or I accept everybody as it is on some old, we are the world, we are the children, we are the ones that make a brighter day, so let's start giving. No, it ain't got to be like that either. Some of us think it has to be all or nothing. No, it don't have to be like that. It could be like you can understand, you can fully understand colorism, good and bad colorism is the way it is, but it doesn't mean that you have to accept that, and it doesn't mean that you have to totally drop your guard against all of the people that you may encounter when you know that some of them may actually be an enemy. So, we are talking about those people who felt like they could look down on you. Down by law. My name is MC Shannon. Okay. Oh, you say I'm buffering in and out? Well, I apologize. I appreciate you telling me, and I apologize, but I ain't do none. You know what I'm saying? You talking about a buffer. How I'm going to be buffering? I ain't trying to buff. All right. Narcil says, Wayne Brady makes Bryant Gumbel look like Malcolm X. Does he? Y'all think that Wayne Brady is softer than Bryant Gumbel? I don't know if you can get softer than Bryant Gumbel. I think Wayne Brady might be a little tougher than Bryant Gumbel. I'm going to tell you why. I think because I know that Wayne Brady at least hangs around other black actors. He might be on some bullshit, But at least Wayne Brady was like on the Chappelle show. You know what I'm saying? Like Wayne Brady, like Brian Gumbel. Well, Brian Gumbel did piss off some white women before. That's who he fuck with. But don't Wayne Brady fuck with white women? I don't know. I'm going to have to ride for Wayne. Wayne darker than Brian Gumbel. Brian Gumbel is kind of light, and he has good hair. But Wayne Brady don't have a bad grade of hair either, but he's dark. I don't know. I think he might be. I think Wayne might be able to be. I don't know. Carol Chamberlain says, Norris don't care for either one. I'm just saying. I hear you. TK Wright says, I've had black coworkers from Pittsburgh who look down on me when they've heard that I was from Philly. And then when they find out that I was raised in New York City, they said, oh, New Yorkers think that they're better. New Yorkers think that they're better. You know, I wouldn't say that. I don't, my experience with New Yorkers, which is kind of a lot, I wouldn't say that they think that they're better. What I would say is that they know that they are hipper. And they are. Ain't no way around that. That slick talk, that swag, that city always trying to outthink you, that hustling mentality. They got that. You very rarely will you find a New Yorker that's just going to chill when they around people that's slower than them. But that's not to say that they'd be like, man, y'all corny. I haven't had that. Now, New York dudes used to piss me off because they used to be on their New York shit. But it wasn't because they thought that they was better. It was because sometimes they would act like they were a little tougher. And it was like, you not really tough. You just talk not really all that hard. You know, you'll hit first, but you won't necessarily win the fight. Not necessarily. But as far as looking down on somebody, most of the New Yorkers I know didn't come from no kind of money. So they didn't have the basis to look down. I mean, you know, cats grew up in the projects. Most of the ones I knew, you know, they didn't come from no houses. So coming to Philly, it's a little harder to look down on somebody when you come from the project. So, but that's just not my... That's not my experience that they think that they're better. But as far as them thinking that they're hipper, maybe a little bit wittier, a little bit more quick-witted, I'll give them that. But a lot of times they're right. It doesn't make them right all the time, but they're right about the way that they, I mean, because their training is different. Their interaction, their social interaction is different. You know, when you actually, it's one thing to go outside and break dance on a cardboard to make extra money. But when your rent, when your ability to pay your rent and feed your family is based on you getting out there and spending on cardboard, doing windmills and, you know, spinning on your head and your hands and all that shit, it's a whole different mentality. That's different. Here's what I thought was, since we're talking about those people who look down on you, when I would go to New York and I would see that, and you still see that, you can go to New York to this day and see motherfuckers out there breakdancing, because breakdancing is still entertaining, and it seems to come back a little bit every era. It goes away, you know what I mean? But then it comes back, and there's always a little place for somebody to still learn how to up rock and windmill and shit. So popping and locking and shit. But anyway, I always thought it was interesting how those guys will get out there and do those dance routines, and they're so organized, and none of them seem to feel any kind of way about doing that for money. For them, it's just a performance, you know, whereas somebody else might feel like, man, I'm not going out there dancing for money like that. Like, fuck that. You know what I mean? Making a fool of myself. I'll do it in a place where you're supposed to dance, but I'm not doing that on the subway. I'm not doing that down the subway, I should say. I'm not doing that at the station. I'm not doing that in the alley. I'm not doing none of that. I'm not doing that in Times Square. I'm not doing... So, but the crowd seems so entertained by that. You know, with all those tourists coming from places, you would think that some of them would be like, oh, look at these motherfuckers out here dancing for money. This, what kind of city is this? What kind of bullshit is this where they got to be out here begging for money, dancing, popping and locking? But if you look at the expressions on people's faces, they don't seem to be doing that. They seem to just be having a good time. You know, they're out there, they draw a crowd like, oh, ooh, he jumped over his head. And then he spun around and pulled through his legs. And then he jumped over him. And then he spun him around his waist. And then he threw him up in the air. And then he landed on his head and started spinning like a top. And then he wrapped his shirt around him. And then he grabbed his shirt and he pulled the shirt. And he held onto the shirt and spun him on his head like an actual top. And he had a shirt on it. He had a body wrap around him that said Duncan. You know, remember like the Duncan yo-yos. So you know, but let's keep it pushing, y'all. Those people who felt like they could look down on you. Look down on you. That was great. Okay. TK Wright says, I've had black... Oh, wait. I already read that. TK Wright says, LOL, that's from the Dave Chappelle skit. Yeah. I mean, at least he went on there. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I ain't never seen Brian Gumbel on nobody's shit. Hold on. Carol says, Taki, sometimes you're damned either way. You can't please them. That's true. Carol says, Gumbel is a joke. You know, I think he would have been all right if his name was Brian Gumbel. But because his name was Bryant, like, because his first name was a last name, I don't know, man. If he was Jamaican, he would have probably been all right. But an American with two last names, black American with two last names, I don't know. You know, and that voice he has, you know, that voice that Brian Gumbel has, you know. So, I mean, when you talk like that, I don't know if you're going to really be able to have any soul. Sure, Hudson says, Wayne is bald. Is he bald now? With the good gray, he's bald with the good grader hair. Okay. I think he used to have the good grader hair, didn't he? Okay. Whatever you think, y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about. We ain't gonna do that. And so Jones says the military has a sibling rivalry that makes people believe they're the poster child. Really? Bite my tongue. And I see that we have a caller on the line. We got a caller. 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 We got a caller on the line. I'm about to take it in a minute. You will shine. Hold on. I just want to read these comments. TK Wright says, yes, Carol. How are they going to look down on me and then anticipate that I'll look down on you because of where I'm from? The milkman is here. Oh, my. Man, the milkman. What's going on? I responded to your message the other day, milkman. You know, man, maybe we could do a little something. He says, it's too bad the petition to keep the Angel Building open on the Dave Chappelle block party never panned out. Dave tried to raise awareness for that building and the couple that lived there as a landmark. Okay. All right. He says, living life very grateful, can't complain whatsoever. That's what's up. Carol says, the name wouldn't have changed him at all. They're too freaking whitey. Okay, I ain't mad at you. All right, we're going to take the caller. And if y'all want to call into the show, you can call in 319-527-6199. That's the number to call up at 319-527-6199. Yes, y'all. Y'all can call in. So caller with the last number is 4215. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Daily Go Get a Mission Show. What's on your mind this evening? What's good?
Yo, what's good, man?
Mello. What's up, man?
Dig this. I tried typing in a comment here, but I'm not seeing it pop up with you guys, but you know, it's like on my tablet, but looking at the show, it's not showing up. Anyway, about the Wayne Brady. I like Wayne Brady.
Okay. You like Wayne Brady?
Yeah, man. Do you know he even made an album, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got a video for one of the songs called Back in the Day. You might want to check it out. It's cool. It's sort of like it's black pop, put it that way. It's
okay,
cool.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But as far as looking down on people, black people, a lot of us are good for discriminating against each other, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that I was. Yeah, I did that at one time too. Until I wound up working to get this at a private country club. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's odd about a situation like that? You know, when you're used to treating people in a respectful way, and you're used to people reciprocating that, and then you get around a situation like a country club or something like that where people are affluent and they're from a lot of different walks of life, but basically they have one walk of life in common, and that common denominator is the exclusion of people like you. And you know, you're used to breaking the ice with people and breaking bread with people and people treating you decent, and you realize, like, these people don't care who I am or how I treat them. They're looking down on me even though I'm providing them with a service.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And don't let one of them be of a little higher ranking, basically just watching being at the head of the crab, you know, head crab of the barrel.
Yeah.
You know, that's man.
Let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Well, no. Finish your thought first.
I was thinking in three different directions anyway. So go ahead.
Okay. What are your feelings when you hear a black person or anybody downgrading or berating somebody who works in a fast food restaurant? Like, if you hear somebody saying, that's why, you know, you over here flipping burgers and dropping fries, you ain't shit, blah, 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 blah.
In my late 30s, I had to wind up working the drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody happened to come through from my hometown and recognized me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this nigga was quick to get on his phone and say, yo, guess what? I'm at McDonald's right now. Guess who in the drive-thru, working the drive-thru? I'm like, ain't this some shit?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, damn. You don't know my walk. You don't know my walk.
Right.
You know, I got away from there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, I take me everywhere I go, but I'm not taking everything that I learned.
Right.
You know, especially on the negative side with me.
Okay.
You know.
So you understand firsthand how messed up that can make a person feel. Like,
yeah.
And some people take it for granted that it's okay to treat people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew somebody else too that, matter of fact, another person, which I was somewhat related to. Anyway, he had an affluent figure within the public system in the city where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Until he was part of some kind of educational sting where they were botching up certain numbers to make the school look good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got busted for fucking up some numbers, and you're supposed to be an administrator. Really.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You was crunching the numbers the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I haven't seen that person since, but oh well. But it's just one of the things, you know, I mean, who are you to look at where somebody is? You know.
Listen.
And yeah, you're gonna say and do anything just to make yourself look good, and at the end of the day,
right,
you're still on somebody else's payroll.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what I think is the most interesting thing about that? Is people will act like being a fast food worker is the scum of the earth, or, you know, just the ultimate culmination of lack of education, guidance, and ambition, right?
Right.
But let you do that job. Let you do that job wrong. Let them fries not be warm, or you forget the ketchup in the bag or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. You know, you're irreplaceable, no time flat.
Well, what I'm saying is,
mm-hmm,
how people diminish the importance of that job when the person that they teased actually performs the way that you've been looking down on them, it's a real big problem.
Mm-hmm.
That you just told them and you exuded that energy that they wasn't shit. And so when they performed like they wasn't shit, you acted surprised.
Hmm.
And now for your little $10, for your funky little $10, you mad as hell.
Man.
You know what I mean? My soda ain't cold.
Well, here's the way I look at it. I'm only as productive as a salary. You get what you pay for. You want minimum? You pay minimum wage, you get minimum performance.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's gonna be my tagline for the rest of the night. My suit ain't cold. I'm rocking that tonight. That's my dedication.
What you mean? What you mean? What you mean? The ice machine don't work?
Yo, I ought to throw this shit in your fat face. Yo, yo, I ain't leaving out this drive-through. I'm parking in this bitch, and you give me a cold soda in this motherfucker.
Horns blowing.
I ain't going nowhere. No. I can't park and wait for you to come bring me the soda. You gonna give me this shit right through this window like you supposed to.
Oh, you really want it that way? Okay. Oh, wait, man. Right there.
You wait right there. but it's a shame. Because there's so many jobs out there where people look down on people. And it's it makes me ask the question, well, what job do you do that should make me want to look up to you? Because if you're not like a doctor, I'm not going to say a lawyer, because I think we give lawyers a little bit too much respect. Like the motherfuckers don't... Lawyers don't really do that much for you unless you're suing somebody or defending yourself. So outside of that, I don't see why we give them so much praise. But let's say a doctor.
Hell, even if you give them, even if you paying a retainer on them, sometimes they still drag their ass.
Exactly. So So yeah, I'm going to leave them out of the respectful column for right now, because I think that we just respect the fact that they have to go to school for a long time and all of that shit. So that's not cutting it. But like, if you're a doctor or something like that, then at any time I could be in a position to actually need your help. You know, whether I have money or not, my life could be, my immediate health could be in your hands.
Yes.
So, but other than that, if you work in corporate America and you make a seven-figure salary or a high six-figure salary, I don't see how that benefits me. What am I looking up to you for?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know what I mean? But we get caught in that mentality. So we get caught up in the mentality of looking down on people who may make a lot less than us, but we look up to people who make more than us, even though the ones who we're looking down on may directly have an interaction with us and affect our lives directly. I mean, when
No, it doesn't. However, though, and you pointed it out, it's the conditioning of centuries that we're so used to. That plantation mentality is ingrained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with our people doing that to our people, it's sad, man. Cause like, what do any of us have that will carry over into you know, following generations? Not many of us are holding that kind of money to whereas it's going to cross over. You know what I mean? It's like when some of us get rich, a lot of times we the only ones. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't always turn into a lineage type of thing. But sometimes you will get around black families where all of them are doing well and seem to have been doing well for a long time. And you watch these motherfuckers and you see like, oh, they're a little hoity-toity. They're a little highfalutin there. You know what I mean? And they may not mean to be, but it is. They are what they are. And they may be performing as such. And it's like, as I guess we tolerate it as long as they'll go too far. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, these things go way beyond the color barrier. When we start talking about money, we're really talking about the shit that separates a lot of black people. You know, couple of dollars versus a couple of more dollars. You know what I mean?
Versus actual wealth.
Yeah. Five figures versus six figures. That's what we
generation. Generation wealth, to be specific. You don't see too much of that. And I've been looking at how it's been diminished.
Right. Yeah, man.
You know, I still miss the days of going around the corner of Mr. Willie's store. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, because you're from Ohio. Are there a lot of black affluent people in Ohio?
There are some, yes, there are. However, they're not put on the canvas. They're not put in front of the spotlight.
Okay.
There's a friend of mine that's a local radio legend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's retired now, and he's told me many stories. You know, showed me a picture of him with you know certain people, celebrities. You know.
Yeah.
Like Blair. From Blair Underwood to George Clinton, you know, he's a DJ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's told me a few things here and there. And, you know, I like, you know, that's one of them cats that he's like one of the few that, you know, given how old we are now, he's one of the few that I can look up to now, you know.
Okay.
There's another cat that, matter of fact, he just brought to my attention the other day who was a basketball player, and he just passed away at age 60. But he had done a lot. He played with Ohio State, and I think he went to pros for a little while, but he wound up coming back here and was doing some things, you know, as far as, being of influence. But it took my man to call one of the local news stations here to tell them about that, to put on air that this guy had passed away, because otherwise they weren't going to say shit.
Yeah.
Nobody would have known. Nobody would have known.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yo, listen, the reason that I asked you about the black affluent people in Ohio, because for some reason I had it in my mind that as long as you didn't live in Cleveland or Cincinnati, Akron, Youngstown, Columbus.
Columbus, yeah.
I'm thinking that, you know, like the rest of the black people in Ohio has a couple of dollars. But that's just my lack of knowledge of that state. You know what I'm saying? I guess I was looking at that shit like sort of like Maryland. You know, Maryland is this little ass state between Virginia and I would say Pennsylvania, because I can't say Delaware because Delaware is too little to say between anything. So, the thing about Maryland black people is if you don't live in Baltimore, then you're probably doing all right. You know what I'm saying? They only have like 10 counties.
If you're in the military and you stay on Andrews Air Force Base.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But Maryland just happens to be one of those states where some black people are doing really well down there. You know what I'm saying? If they live out in the suburbs of Baltimore or in Montgomery County, like I said, they only have about three counties in Maryland. Let's see, PG, Montgomery, which is
I didn't think about it like that. Yeah,
Ansel can talk a little bit about that, but so it's a small state, but when you got a couple of dollars in Maryland, you got a couple of dollars. Ain't really no way around it. Like, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, a lot of places the money don't go too far. But I'm thinking that I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking that out in the Midwest, because they don't. Like, because when you start talking about the Midwest, you start talking about like states that are pretty big, but don't have a lot of major cities. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of suburban areas down there, out there, where you might be living in the burbs, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have money, which is different than over here, because over here, basically, if you live in the burbs, then you're doing pretty well. You know what I'm saying?
There are more non-whites in the smaller. You know, there are more non-white people in the state than there are black people in the bigger cities of the state. You follow me?
Yeah, I do.
So that's why you know when it comes to voting and stuff like that. It was a red state, and that's why all these Trumpers and shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So it's a weird thing. Let me ask you this: have you ever been in a situation where you thought for sure that somebody was going to look down on you, and they actually treated you with admiration, with respect, and with decency?
Oh, back to that country club thing. There was one black married couple that was there.
Yeah. Okay.
And Dr. So-and-so was mad cool. He was mad cool. He was good to, pass on, a good word or a word of encouragement, as well as his wife. His wife had really set me, laid some stuff on me for about 5 or 10 minutes. At the end of it, she's like, I got mine now. Now it's just your turn to get yours. I'm like, oh, word. They were basically saying, and both separate, because I wasn't talking about the same time. Well, both of them were basically saying, we ain't scared of these crackers.
It is kind of weird when you run into a situation like that. You expect somebody to drink their monster drink with their pinky in the air, and they don't do that.
Yeah.
So,
That was just one of those deals where instead of just trying to fit in with them, figure out how to get around them and get through them.
Mm.
That's something that I sort of got, you know, being around, you know, being the minority and, you know, in the, you know, in,
mm-hmm.
In a workplace, you know.
Yeah.
But without being a doormat and being treated as, you know.
Yeah.
As they expect you, you know, to do.
Well, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
When was the last time, if you can remember, when was the last time you had a who is you moment? Now, who is you moment is a moment where somebody looked at you in a certain kind of way, and you looked at them like, who is you?
Oh, gosh, man, come on. That's too many stories, bro.
I'm just saying. That's why I said the last time, just the last time you had a who is you moment.
Oh, gosh, man.
I mean,
riding on the public transit and somebody trying to be the whole spectacle, trying to talk down on somebody. You know, that's a story right there in itself.
Okay. Okay.
Getting on the bus lobby right. Because they, you know, hey, I want to get off here. Well, ring the bell. You know, one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll go for that. Yeah, man.
And, you know, just treating, you know, not seeing those, you know, operators. They go through all kind of hell unnecessarily because the people just want to treat them like they're owed, you know?
Yeah.
I thought about doing that, but I'm like, nah, I don't think I'm not in that good people space like I used to be. You know, I don't have the patience anymore.
Hmm.
To be around a lot of people like that. There was a time, yeah. Yeah. Again, working in places like fast food when you're around people all the time. You know, getting a system down to, you know, to be a team player, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know. That's one thing versus taking unnecessary verbal attacks and abuse and assaults and just straight out insults, you know.
Mm-hmm. Straight up insults. Yeah. You know, when you're not used to being put down, when you're not used to being straight up insulted, and it happens, sometimes you might have you be like, what did you say? Like, yo,
mm-hmm.
you dissing me, ain't you? Well, look at you. You know what I mean? Sometimes it might make you mad. Sometimes it just might have, it might make you laugh. Like, yo, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned.
Why you got that beer in your dog on plastic cup?
Right? Right? Yeah.
With that courage cup going through you.
Yeah, hold up. Me and somebody else was just talking
that was one of my little drinking tactics too back in the day too. When you talk about when you used to drink, that was one of my little antics.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. I was talking to somebody last week when I was talking about these stimulus checks, and I was like, "Yo, motherfuckers going to be, there's going to be so much money going around right now. Motherfuckers going to be They're gonna be like, yo, I got too much money to be drinking water out of a bottle. They're gonna be pouring the water in the cup, like, you know what I mean? I don't drink out the bottle no more. You know what I mean? That's just uncivilized.
Oh yeah, just contributing more to the to littering the world. Yeah, yeah, that's real. Yeah,
right.
That's real good.
Right, right, right.
Besides the shit you're talking into the air,
exactly,
you're physically polluting the planet as well. Way to go,
without a doubt.
I'll see you in about a couple of months. How about that?
No doubt. Well, yeah. Listen, my brother, I got to get ready to get on up out of here. Unfortunately,
oh okay, yeah,
unfortunately,
cool,
and fortunately. I actually have to work tomorrow, so we're gonna have the show tomorrow at 11 o'clock. But It's actually going to have to start on time and end on time because I'll be pressed for time. This is on some bullshit. So I got to work Saturday and Sunday, but, you know, it go how it go, it be how it be. And so I'll be back at it. So that's how that goes. But listen.
Well, word up, word up. Well, I'm glad I could, you know, chip in here a little bit today.
Without a doubt, I appreciate you calling in, too. Don't be
cool.
Never hesitate to be a stranger. You can call in any time.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, much love to everybody on the chat, too.
Without a doubt, man. That's my brother from another mother, Norris Hill, right there.
All right.
My man throwing down. All right, man. I'll holler at you later. Peace.
All right. Much love.
All right. So, like I was saying, I got to work tomorrow. I got to work tomorrow and the next day. So, we got to squeeze these shows and got to squeeze. Plus, I have to work second shift. Yeah, I like working shift like I like liver. And y'all know how I feel about liver. And so good looking out on that information about PG County being down there in the DC area, Southeast being an affluent neighborhood because the properties are so expensive. I hear that. Good looking now. All right, y'all. Let's do these birthday shout outs. We got to do the birthday shout outs. And then we got to go. Y'all. Good love deserves an encore. Go into a show tonight after working hard 9 to 5. And what's up, my man Clint C. Brantley? My man, my mellow, it's on you. So what you gonna do? We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious 26, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Joe Medley. Happy birthday to you, Joe. And also Albert Isaias Vasquez Vargas. Happy birthday to you. Oh, Joe Medley's turning 51 years old today. And Nona Baldwin turning 24 years old today. Happy birthday, youngin'. And also Jacqueline Smith turning 48 years old today. And Nicole Love turning 40 years old today. The big foe. Oh, do the damn thing. And also Joanna Wright. Happy birthday to you. And Andrea Smith turning 56 years old today. And Candace Logan turning 35 years old today, and my man, Robert Howard III, happy birthday to you, Rob. That's my Penn State man. We're going all the way back to the 1991 good brother, and I say good brother because that's what he used to always say, hey, good brother. That was all the way back then, and even though my man said he was going to call in today, he didn't call in, but I make sure daddy get his flowers anyway. And that's my man, my brother, my mellow, Keith Tyler. My man, my mellow, my Keith Tyler. My man, my mellow, my Keith Tyler. I thought you was calling in, Keith. It's all good, my brother. I hope that you are down there in New Orleans. He called me yesterday. He said he was going to call in today. But he down there in New Orleans. You know what I mean? Partying and up all crazy. Make sure wear your mask, nigga. Make sure you wear your mask. And last but certainly not least, my girl going all the way back to the 1989, Danya Searles. Danya! She don't want to put her age down there, but I know how old you are. It's all good, though. Do the damn thing, light skin. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious May 26th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on into the jam, the jam, the rock out. rock on it, do the damn rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen. Check this out. Peep it. Yo. Yeah, there're going to be times when people look down on you. Not necessarily because of who you are or what you have, but because of what you are and what they don't have as far as respect for you is concerned. It would be easy for me to say, don't let it get you down. Don't let it get to your head, no. Don't let it get to your head, no, no, no. And I'm going to say that anyway. But it's not going to be an easy road. It's not always easy to keep all of the negative thoughts out your mind, baby. But we do have to do our best in order to make it happen that way. So I want you to do your best. And I want you to feel good about yourself, feel good about your accomplishments, feel good about where you come from. And you know why? Because you cannot change where you're from. You can always change where you're going, but you can't change where you're from. You can't change your parental status as far as the parents that birthed you. You can't change your brothers and your sisters all over this land. If I had a hammer, I hammer out bum nigga. Okay. We all have jobs that we have to do. We all have to live our lives. And life can be a lot harder when you are worried about whether somebody looks upon you favorably or not. If you're going to bend over backwards and waste a lot of energy or spend a lot of energy trying to make somebody like you, at least do it for the people who like you or that you like. Sometimes we get so caught up in the I'll show you type of mentality that here we are all showing out and performing for motherfuckers who don't give two shits about us. No, no. It's not. No aceptable. No, no. That's not acceptable in Spanish. So what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be back on here tomorrow. Let me see if we have a topic for tomorrow. I mean, I'm like, a topic for tomorrow? I mean, where would I get it from? Let me see if we have anything that we might be talking about tomorrow. I mean, this shit just comes out of nowhere, you know, tomorrow. I don't know. What can we talk about? I need to work on this list. Got to work on it. But there's some good stuff in here. And so I will choose one of these that I think will be good. And then, I want y'all to have a good night. Listen, the whole show, I didn't ask y'all to make sure y'all hit the like button, make sure y'all share the show, and make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. So I hope that y'all did it or was going to do it. Don't leave me out there like that. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you share the show. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate you and love you right back to life. And so, in the love that I show you, I'ma holler back to you. So, Blog Talk, we're going to get on up out of here. I holler. All right.